Last weekend, we have heard many good things. Even today, a sister phoned and said, "Brother Frank, I was in the meetings and I've taken all the tapes with me, but these were the most wonderful meetings which we ever experienced." These were their words. It may be that the one is addressed more through that word than through another word. But I believe that God has to say to each one of us. And also about this, we rejoiced that many have come. It was the first time that I had to make my bed available. The first time that everything was so crowded. And for this, I was very happy. Other way around, it would have been bad. You all know, we are grateful to the Lord. We know that nothing comes from us. And Paul says, what would be, whatever we have, we received anyhow from him. And everything what we received, it's only grace. And out of his fullness, we all received grace for grace. And this we will continue to do until we come from believing unto seeing. Brother Rus already mentioned that we are not many here, but there are even more who like to hear the word of God and who believe it and who rejoice with us and who feel connected. I would like to have it best to sing a couple of choruses, but my voice, it's impossible. It's very friendly from you. Your daddy has the advantage that he can exercise with you, and I am so alone. Now, we all can sing if we feel like. Of course, we not always feel like singing. We can be honest with each other. God knows it anyhow. I believe it's Paul who wrote to the Galatians, "Is any among you, if any man is merry, then let him sing psalms." It's not always like this, that one can always sing psalms and praising songs. Everything has its time and everything has its place. Paul says in Galatians, no, it's in James, of course. In James it is. I think now. It's in James, chapter 5. Here, the apostle says, James, chapter 5, verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So, here it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. And is any sick? Let him call the elders. So, all are classified. Sometimes he is merry, and other time the other one. But we all are believers. And we thank God for his grace. Whether we pray, whether we sing, whether we are sad or merry, this doesn't change absolutely nothing that we are children of God. And this is the nice and wonderful. Now, today I have the sermon of Brother Branham before me. The next sermon will be souls who are in prison now. God willing, we will deal with them next weekend of the month. But in this sermon, Desperation, we will read a couple of things. And with this, I had to think about the prophet Elijah. And something stood out to me. I had to think on the one thing in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, verse 42, here it says, 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. You all know what this means. Before that, something great happened. God answered with fire. The Baal priests were slaughtered, and the Asherah priests also, altogether probably 950 of them. And something great has happened. And we see the man of God, after this great experience, not jumping and rejoicing, but he comes again in such an agony of soul that he bends totally, putting his head between his knees, praying. One could have said, after such a great experience, Elijah, you are most surely so strengthened and so full of joy that you could jump over the mountains and not going up to put your head between your knees, bending totally and then to pray. But these are the ways of the Lord. And by this, no one can change anything about it. Before that, it was Obadiah, a man who came and was seeking him, and he found him in chapter 18. That says in verse 7, the last part, "Art thou that, my Lord Elijah?" And he answered unto him, "I am. Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." And the same is written in verse 11. "And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." And the same is then again in verse 14. And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Three times in one chapter. This man was afraid that he will say to King Ahab, Elijah is here, and that the Lord takes Elijah away, and he's no more here. And he says, Elijah is here. And then probably Elijah is not more here. And he was afraid that it would cost his life. And he said, my Lord, you know that the king will kill me if you don't show him, show yourself. And I am afraid of my life. And he says, for the third time, go and tell him, Elijah is here. One would say, man, he spoke of himself here. No, he didn't speak of himself. He was there by the commission of the Lord. In the name of the God of Israel, he was there. And whether his name was Elijah or Moses or whatever the name is, doesn't play any role. Tell the king, Elijah is here. And he shall come immediately. And it says, in the next verse, in verse 16, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" That's how he addressed him. He was the one, he was the troublemaker for Israel. That's how Ahab saw him. How did God see him? This is the thing. One always has to ask, how does God see you and me? How does unbelievers see us? And at the end, it counts only one thing, how God sees you and me. Nothing else. Elijah was not the troublemaker. He was the prophet of the Lord. And he answers the king and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. We sometimes have heard Brother Branham say that a Carmel hour must come. And it must come, and it will come, a hour in which God will administer justice, an hour in which God's glory will be manifested, in which the power of God will no more manifested in words, but in the deed. You all know that Elijah announced the thing, but then came the time where it truly took place. And these priests or prophets, which ate from the table of Jezebel, their end has come. And the man whom the ravens nourished with nice bread and meat, and one would ask himself, where did they take it from? Who cooked it? Where could they fetch it? Where was it prepared? It's not our thing. It's God's matter. But this prophet didn't eat of the table of Ahab, and not from the table of Jezebel, but from the table of the Lord. And I believe all of us in this time, we recognize Elijah whom God has sent. And how nice. Tell him, Elijah's here. I like it so much. These three words, Elijah is here. Finish. And already something happens. Already something is going on. Something is moving. Already God comes on the scene. When I think about that God ever and ever was on the plan, inasmuch as his prophets came on the scene, then it all throws us into the desperation, all of us, of which Brother Branham also lines out here, and of which he speaks here, a direct desperation, a cry for help. We know it were commissions which God gave, and there were times and years in which also nothing happened. This we may not hide from anyone. There were 3.5 years passed in which absolutely nothing happened. And one could have asked, where is this great God of man of God? Where is the living God? Why doesn't he do anything? God does not let himself be dictated by anyone. God is not in a hurry, but he always is ready to come at the right time to do the right thing rightly. And so, we actually, through our prayers, we only want to be put into the right stand before God so that he can do something when the time has come for it. Not that we say, now it is so far, but that we just are in the position in which God wants us to be. And we see how sure he was. He even commanded, fill the cruses with water and pour everything upon the altar and upon the wood. And he said, repeat it. And they did it. And again for the third time. And they did it again. And lots of water they poured upon this altar and upon the wood. To so to say, make the thing impossible that there could be a fire kindled. Yes, the miracle should become greater, even more mighty. And therefore, Elijah said, pour enough water. And they poured once and once again and again. He was sure that the fire of God was not afraid before this water, and that the Almighty God decided it. And the prophets saw these things in a vision, and they could act accordingly. It was the word of the Lord. And he says here in verse 37, Hear me, Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. This is the thing. Not that they know I am a great man of God. Before that, he says that I'm a servant and I did everything according to the word. This goes also with it. But the kernel of the matter is, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people know that thou art the Lord God and that thou yourself hast turned their heart back again. Not he brought the people to the conversion, but the Lord, by answering. I told you here the story of William Booth, who went to the streets of London, and somebody was lying in the street, and somebody opened suddenly his eyes, and he said, "William Booth, come help me. You converted me." And he looks and stops and says, "You look like it." He was fully drunk in the street, lying there at the wayside. And when he saw William Booth walking, he said, "William Booth, help me. You converted me." And he said, "Yeah, you're looking like it. If God would have converted you, then you wouldn't lie here." And this is the thing. Sometimes it's good to hear such stories in the old books of the men of God to find out that it was ever two things. On the one side, that people are enthusiastic from people and they came to the faith, but that they didn't penetrate unto Christ. And this is what Brother Brent says in the sermon. I fear that the people just come to a church, but they don't come to Christ. They don't penetrate, making their experience with God. Here we see the prophet. He acted according to the word of the Lord. This really touched me, that after all these great and mighty experiences, he is again in his agony, and he takes his head between his knees, bending totally, and prays. And he knows that he sends out his servant, that he shall look whether the rain comes already. He, of course, heard the sound of rain. He heard it when nothing was there, when there's not even a cloud, nothing was there. And he said, "Go, eat and drink, for I hear the sound of abundance of rain." Now he said, "I hear the sound of abundance and not even a cloud in the sky. The heaven is blue, not one drop of water." And he says, "I hear already the sound of abundance of rain." Then he says, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." Elijah already heard that there will come mighty rain. And this man comes back, "There's nothing." He already heard it and he didn't even see something. And he said, "Go again." And seven times. We all would have given up and would have said, "I hear that the rain is coming mightily." Look up, opening eyes, go, nothing is there, nothing. But suddenly, after the seventh time, number seven, it's a wonderful number. On the seventh day, God completed his work and rested. I'm so happy that he didn't only rest on the seventh day, but that he finished his work. He completed his work on the seventh day, and then he rested of all his work. And it says, and it came to pass There arose a little cloud, there came the storm. Heaven was black with the clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Elijah could run faster than the horses of Ahab. We all know that the horses can run fast. Natural speaking, we would say, such a foolishness. This man there girded up his loins, and then he runs there before the wagon. You know, what is foolishness with men is very precious to God. It pleased God through foolish sermons save them who believe it. That's how it is written. That's how Paul has said it through the Spirit. And if we put forth the divine wisdom, then it's foolishness in the eyes of men. And if we would bring forth the greatest wisdom of men before the people, then it would be absolutely foolishness before God. It's even written, the foolishness of God. Actually, it doesn't exist, but it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. So we see that God has his way. And another word came to me. Brother Rus read already one Psalms 135. I was reading one Psalms 130. Here it says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I would like to remind us, and may God give us grateful hearts for all that, what he did. But in the same way, we don't come around but to say, Lord, we are on the way back to the beginning, to the direct first beginning. Not the first generation, but back to the beginning. And we want that God manifests himself in such a way as he promised it. And in the word of prophecy, we have the promise of the early and latter rain who would fall at the same time. And this Brother Branham lines out in a wonderful way in a sermon. It was so that the early rain came at the sowing time in spring and the latter rain at the harvest time. But the early and latter rain shall fall at the same time. The prophet Elijah said, I hear already the sound of abundance of rain. Go and look. And I don't know, was it Gehazi or whoever? I don't know right now. But the man came back and said, I see nothing. Elijah was a prophet. He saw already, or he heard already that what God promised him, as it would have happened already. For him, it was a fact. He said, I hear it already. The mighty coming down of the rain. He heard it. And he said, go, look. And the man comes and sees nothing. When we today hear God's word, then we must say, we hear already the mighty sound of abundance of rain. This we can say in the perfect faith because God promised it. If it would only be our wish or our dream or our imagination, which we like to see fulfilled, then we can go 7 times there. And we will nothing see at all, not even the 8th time. But it's a divine promise. And this divine promise we have heard. And the word not only is in our ears, but it has fallen into our hearts. And we believe it with all our hearts. Now, if it's being said here, from the depth of my heart I cry unto you, O Lord, then we must come before the presence of the Lord. And sometimes I think about it. people are heavy laden. Heavy laden. The Lord helped them all. Weary. Doesn't matter how they came. No one went away from him as he came. The lepers came unclean. They went out clean. The blind came blind. And they walked away seeing. The sinners came heavy laden. They went back free. Whatever. And the four Gospels, they're not only here that we read in them, but that we understand what the proclamation of the Gospel accompanies. That the power of God must be manifested there where the Gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. And that the same results which happened then at the proclamation must also happen today. Must happen. There's no way around it. And these things, I mention myself on purpose. All of us, they really cause us into a deep distress. And we say, Lord, 1,000 times as one time, we have heard it, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And 1,000 times we believed it. Not so. Yes, then it must be manifested. If we believe it with all our hearts, then it must be manifested. And God wants to see our desperation. He doesn't want to let us pass, that we just believe, but that we put our faith into practice, taking God at His word. I read it to you, what Brother Bram says here, in this sermon, the desperation, on page 25. You can't be desperate till God speaks to you. Here's the key. When God would not have spoken to us, then we would walk on in indifference. We would sing and jubilating, but we all would walk our own way. Here is a sentence which all hit us. You can't be desperate until God has spoken to you. And I dare to say that God has spoken to us. And whoever is here and God has not spoken to him, let him raise his hand or let him raise his heart. We must and we can say God has spoken to us. And because he has spoken to us through his revealed word, therefore we are thrown into this desperation without that we want it, but without that we knew it. God leads the matter in such a way that we are thrown into it, but not that we remain in it, but that we are led out of it. This is the wonderful thing with our God. With people, it's totally different. People throw a Joseph into the pit and leave them there. And then some servants pass by and a caravan and takes this man out of the pit. But with God, it's different. He lets us come into desperation, but he also leads out of it. He lets an Elijah have the greatest experiences answering of prayers, and shortly afterward, he has his knees between his knees, his face, and he prays and supplicates and says, go, look, for I hear already the sound of abundance of rain. God spoke to him. And because God spoke to him, he was in this inner desperation. Yes, now I'm asking myself, did he speak so clearly to us that his word has touched our hearts and we truly cannot do otherwise but to say, Lord, here we are, I cannot do otherwise. Help me. Help us. We want to be your people, your church. And we want that that happens through us, what you planned. We have heard your word, and we believe with all our hearts. Then it says, oh, church, rise and shake yourself. Pinch your conscience. Wake yourself up. in this hour. The inner desperation must come over us. We must be desperate or we perish. You see what has been said here? The inner desperation must come over us, otherwise we perish. So, if the inner cry for help has not touched us, then we perish. If the desperation comes over us, then we don't perish. But then God helps us when the head is between our knees and we cannot do otherwise. Then God comes to help us. Please, I'm asking us, does God still speak to us through His Word? Or shall we just finish and stop? Does God still speak to us, to you, to me? Here we are told tonight, through a word revealed by the Spirit, the inner desperation must come over us, otherwise we perish. Because from the Lord something will happen. I know it is, thus saith the Lord. There is something coming forth, and we had better get desperate. It's a matter of life and death. Otherwise, it will pass through us, and we won't see it. We see what's all about. God spoke to Elijah. God spoke to Brother Branham. But God spoke through this word to you and to me. And we are just now, we arrived at this point where all these things which were given by the Spirit, they must come over us. The time was not ripe for it then. Now the time is ripe for it. I can say to you, honestly, when I'm in a desperate situation, then I like it best that nobody sees me. And sometimes somebody sees me then still. But God leads in and God leads out. On the next page, it says, now she's in trouble. It speaks here of a woman who came to the prophet. And I don't know what to do. There lies a dead boy. What can I do, Lord? No doubt. The Holy Spirit said, if God is in you, then lay yourself on the boy. The first thing, you know, he ran to the boy and laid himself over it. And he sneezed 7 times. The desperation was over. The child came to life. Because that desperation drove the woman to the prophet. And the desperation drove the prophet to the child. And the desperation in both of them drew God on the scene. So we see 3 things. We see the woman in her trouble with a dead son. And we see the prophet in his trouble because of the matter. And then we see the intervening of God, who comes on the scene. And this is the divine purpose with all of us. This I believe with all my heart. Because there must be a deep, a thorough work must happen in His people. Something totally different must take place. What has happened? Do you all believe it? It must. We have experienced it with us personally, and we heard of it. A deep, thorough work of grace of our God must take place in our hearts. And everything must become new. And God must answer. But this desperation in which we are, probably we didn't understand it yet, but we are already in it. It goes on. When we are touched, and when we ask for something, doesn't matter how weak we are, if we believe, we receive it. Because love drives. Also this is very important. The love in there mixes with it and brings it to it. Desperation does it. Of our Lord, it says, He had compassion with the people. He was touched, full of compassion when he saw the people. And it says, the love mixes with the inner desperation. It brings it to it. The desperation does it. We read it a long time. That faith is worked by love. And this is a desperation which brings forth the faith so that we thus come to the Lord. I don't want to be long. On page 30, we see, may it become a trouble for you. God will answer you. He always will hear the desperation of the soul. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When our Lord Jesus was on the battlefield in this world, he prayed in Gethsemane, touched with in despair. Should he take the sins of the world, or should he just remain on earth with his beloved disciples? What should happen? You see, watch his humility as he humbled himself and he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He humbled himself under the word, under the promised word of God of heaven. Notice, then he went a little further. And if he went a little further, how much more ought we to go a little further? The Bible says that he prayed earnestly, brother, sister, if Jesus had to pray so earnestly, how much more have we got to pray earnestly? We see that in these sermons, after the opening of the seals, is a depth, a real depth, which wants to lead us into the depth. It's not about to raise the voice and to say something loudly. It is about that God's word is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, that we recognize the time in which we are living, that we are touched by God, so that faith can come into action through love. And only by this, he will get us to the point where we belong. I have no big trouble to speak about this sermon. It fits nicely into the landscape. He says on, he is ready to heal us and to save us. But we ought to throw us all into this desperation to get the healing. That's right. What was with Zacchaeus? He didn't just say, I heard. He was crying. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't have a nice conversation, but he cried with all his voice when he said, the people said, be quiet. And he even cried more loud. He was blind, yes. But somehow he was not blind. He has seen something. Something he heard. Also not with his eyes. But he noticed something in his heart. And he knew, here is my opportunity. This Lord, this Jesus of Nazareth, he comes along here. And he cried out with all his voice. He was told, he is ready to heal us and to save us. Yes, it must be this way. There's no other way. It's not just that we speak of it. It just has to happen. Brothers, sisters, we need services according to the early church pattern. Services in which God can really manifest himself. There's no other way. It must become our desperation that he didn't yet manifest himself until now. And if it becomes our desperation, and not speaking through somebody, This will not solve the problem, no. But by faith, praying, recognizing the time in which you're living, saying, Lord, we understood. You have given us the privilege to not only hear, but through your Spirit, we hear it revealed and we believe it. We hear already the sound of abundance of rain, of a mighty rain, although we didn't see anything. And the same man of God, who heard already the mighty sound of abundance of rain, he took his head between his knees, and cries in his desperation and says, Lord, answer and give it. The prayer is not said here. It's good that it's not written. The prayer of one in desperation, whoever reads that, it's better that nobody listens to it. Sometimes I would like best if God would not hear it. But he hears all things. Job said it. Weigh the words of a desperate man not. Weigh them not. And so, may God not weigh anything. And if he weighs, then may he weigh us according to his righteousness and grace. Brothers and sisters, may God bless us. I believe that the Elijah is here. And when I was reading this in the evening, I was reading three times. Say, Elijah is here. I have to think of the word of the Lord. The disciples came once to the Lord and said, the scribes, they say, Elijah must first come. And the Lord says, he will come first. And he wasn't ready. Once he spoke of John and then of the ministry in our time. And he said, they didn't recognize him. Tell him, Elijah is here. And you know precisely. Today one can say everything to the people. One can say to him, oh, Brother Branham was a great man of God. And they all say, yes, that's true. But tell them once that he was that prophet of which it is written that he should come. Then it's over. Because then they are required, they are challenged. Then they should believe. If it's only a man of God, then it's a man of God, yes. But if he is a promised prophet, then the matter looks totally different. Then it has a significance in the plan of salvation. And in that moment, it's God who acts and who works. And then they must listen. All the great evangelists, they believe that Brother Branham was the greatest man of God since the days of Jesus Christ. You can ask him one after the other. It's written in their books. But no one of them believes that he was the Elijah who should come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We are truly naive enough to believe God's word, and we recognize that the day which will burn as an oven is not far anymore, and that God has sent his servant and prophet and to speak to you and to me. Tell me, has God spoken to us? Brother Brennan said, except God has spoken to us, otherwise we don't come into this desperation. May God's speaking work it by his grace. And as the psalm writer says, from the depth of my soul I cried unto you. Brother Rus read the other psalm of the idols of the heathen, their handmaid of people. They have a mouth and speak not. They have eyes and see not. They have ears and hear not. Yes? But now the comparison is drawn between the idols which the people made and between the God who made the people. Do we understand this? The idols which the people made, they make nice ears, yes? Sometimes, most probably you didn't see it yet, but in all these countries there, where one sees Buddha, a great fat statue, mighty, very mighty, and such donkey ears, and he doesn't hear anything. Nothing at all. And if one thinks about our Lord, our God, I believe our heart should be overwhelmed. People made themselves idols, gods. They formed them with their own hands. They gold-plated them. I've seen it. Ah, one may not speak about it. But here's the comparison. They have a mouth and cannot speak. They have ears, cannot hear. They have eyes and cannot see at all. Because they're just as dead as those who made them. But God is alive and He made us. He hears and also we hear. He sees and also we see. He speaks, and also we may speak what He has said. I read one verse. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. This was His prayer. This is our prayer tonight, beloved. Let us really come before the Lord. This psalm is well known. What we are waiting for the Lord as the watchman for the morning is the loving psalms. And also we are waiting for it by faith. We hear already the mighty deeds of our God. By faith we see it already. By faith we all notice it. And we want to really trust our God, that He in loving kindness comes down and works. That it's not our mightiness, but the power of our God. And we said it many times. It's not about unctuous words. It's about anointed words. Words which were spoken by the Holy Spirit. And God's word will not return void. God spoke to Elijah, and he came into desperation, and he knew God will answer. God spoke to us, and we know that He will answer. And Him we want to tell it, not in unbelief, but in the perfect faith, in the absolute assurance that God stands to His word. But also this, we don't want to hide from Him, that it depresses us on the inside, that He didn't come yet to His right. This we don't want to hide from it. We say, Lord, help. And if you pray for me, please don't use titles and no terms. Just pray in general for all who minister with the word. And we want to pray for one another, and God will answer. I'm 100% sure of it. God is the living God. He was not made, but He made us. We are the workmanship of His hands. Him we trust with all our hearts and with all our soul. His name be highly praised. Amen. Let us stand up and may some pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we thank You together for Your precious and holy word. We thank You that we arrived in the hour in which we can send our cry of our soul up to You. We thank You for all the blessings in the past. But now, the rain shall come. And before the rain came the desperation. Oh God, Lord, You have given the promise. You will fulfill it in all who believe it. Hallelujah. To your wonderful name, Lord. You spoke to us. For this, we are grateful to you. You will work everything for us and in us and through us. Blessed be your wonderful name. Amen. Let us remain standing a bit. Perhaps God has spoken to someone who would like to who didn't yet dedicate his life to the Lord. If this is the hour, then we want to not let the occasion pass by. We don't know for how long God will still call and admonish and speaking. Today he has spoken. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. While we all bow our heads, closing our eyes, I would like to ask if someone is here for whom we can pray. Please raise your hand and put them down. God bless you. Sister, God bless you. God bless you. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Heavenly Father, you have seen the hands and also the hearts. You know what is going on in each one. You know everything from afar. What shall we say to you? We want to be quiet in your presence so that you can answer. Dear Lord, we pray for all who have raised their hands. Stretch forth thine hand. Touch them and give them what they are asking for. Lord, give us that faith which works miracles through love. O God, I thank you. You will do it. Praise be to your wonderful and holy name.
Amen.
Amen.